Today, we will have message three on the intrinsic building. And then in message four, the intrinsic nature of genuine fellowship. And tomorrow, outline five will be covered in two messages. Message five will cover the first section on the apostles' teaching, and message six on the winds of teaching. And that's an important matter that we understand that. So now we come to the intrinsic building up of the church for its organic function. And I'd like to take now maybe 15 or 20 minutes to set before you some very important matters related properly or improperly to building. And I do so in the hope that the divine light will shine and the spirit of reality will guide us into the truth. The greatest prophecy in the whole Bible, Brother Lee has a book on this, is I will build my church. I, Christ, the Son of the living God, will build my church. And please remember, my church refers to the universal church, the universal body of Christ. But we have a very subtle enemy who, when given the opportunity, he will attack the building, mainly by the power of death. That's why the Lord Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And the gates of Hades are the outlet of death from the source of death, the devil. And please consider the reason why the gates of Hades will never prevail against the builded church. The reason is that the church is not built up by the natural human life and element. It is built in the resurrection life of Christ. Building is absolutely in resurrection, especially when applied to the organic body of Christ. But along with others, I have learned from serious mistakes that have been made. Usually, the saints with a good heart, having an erroneous concept of what building is. And I just mentioned them briefly. They're part of our history. And we don't hide it. We have a Deuteronomy. This is our history. This is what we've learned. Now we're pressing on. In the 1970s, in the church in Anaheim, a group of faithful serving brothers with the elders understood Brother Lee's word about vertical building in a wrong way. And they actually began to construct a hierarchy with different levels, not just the elders and all the saints, but a hierarchy. And I remember being in a meeting with these brothers and asking them, does Brother Lee know what we're doing? And the elders wouldn't answer. But when Brother Lee did learn, in one evening meeting, he tore it down. He made us see, This is not real building. Human organization and hierarchy. This is not the building up of the body. And then in 1977 and 78, a group of middle-aged sisters, gradually increasing in number, were thoroughly convinced they were the building. They were in the building. Some of them even thought they were getting direct revelation from the Lord beyond what the elders and Brother Lee saw. And the leading one, in a sense, we could say she was a queen. And in the church meetings, they would sit in rank, those who are closest to her and the one closer and closer and closer, or farther and farther. And they believed that building was just being so close to each other in our natural life. And one just stood up in a meeting and just spoke to all the rest of us, get into the building. But that was a counterfeit. And when the matter was brought to Brother Lee, he said, this is a cancer. It's a cancer. This kind of growth is a cancerous growth. The leading sisters, so-called, would not accept it. And so in order to preserve the body, they were all brought out of the church. No one thrust them out. The Lord did it. Building is not being close to certain people. Having this kind of so-called building, soul to soul, natural life with natural life. That's a counterfeit. This has already happened. We need to learn from the past. And then, especially with rather gifted brothers, there's a third mistake. And that is not building with gold, silver, and precious stones, but with wood, grass, and stubble, wood, the natural human life, grass, fallen man, stubble, the earthly things. And some brothers, for a period of time, seemed to be successful. So we need to learn from our history so the Lord would have mercy on us, that we would not repeat it. So now let's leave that behind and to begin to consider from the New Testament what building is. And I've been greatly helped again and again. And in this case about building, I read this decades ago, but the light began to shine in that book, The Vision of God's Building, from the 1960s. And Brother Lee gave this definition, which was developed thoroughly in the remaining decades of his ministry. Building is the corporate expression of the triune God. That is building. And we see this portrayed in the tabernacle. The structure was built, and then what happened? The glory of God filled it. Glory is God expressed. The same thing with the temple. After it was constructed, the glory of God filled the temple. In Ephesians 3, Paul says, unto him be glory in the church. In Revelation 21, we're told the New Jerusalem has the glory of God. So building is the corporate expression of the triune God, who has been wrought into our inner being. So the Lord, as he saves us in life, will enable us to be buildable, and that we will be building with the triune God wrought into us. We will be building in resurrection life. Now, when the Lord said, I will build my church, let's try to understand as much as we can from the Bible what that meant. I will build. So he will do something directly. And one part of the answer, I don't have the full part yet in my own learning, but in Ephesians 3, we see the Lord's way to build up his dwelling place. That is, the Father of glory will strengthen us with power into the inner man so that Christ may make his home in our hearts through faith. Making his home. And the Greek word is oikos, for house. He's building a house inside of us. And he's building us to be a house for him. And another verse is in John 14:23, where the Lord says, if anyone loves me and keeps my word, the Father will love him, and we will come to him and make an abode with him. This is God in Christ building himself in us. And we who are in Christ being built into God. This is the way God will bring forth the corporate expression of the triune God. And so we need to go on from this to see that in addition to building directly, he's actively ministering from the heavens, transmitting the process triune God into us so that we are brought into resurrection and we are built up together in him. But also he has ordained and established what's called the principle of incarnation. And that is, the Lord will live and work through the believers. He will work, but in us, through us, with us, and even by us. So therefore, he gave gifts to the body. We read the verse, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherd teachers. They are believers, but Christ is building, rather perfecting, through the principle of incarnation, through them. That is why Paul could write in such a profound way in the verses we read from Ephesians 4. We'll look through those again. And eventually we will see, we will devote time to these verses. We are all being perfected unto the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry is building up the body of Christ. Then we'll see in verse 16, the body is building itself up in love. The direct building will never be through the gifted ones. They are for our perfecting. All the members of the body They are the ones to do the building in the principle of incarnation, with the building God building in each one of us. This is why an organic practice of the God-ordained way is so crucial, because it terminates the traditional way of clergy laity, of having categories, classes, levels. We are all members, nothing less and nothing more. And it's through the members and the joints of supply that the intrinsic building up of the church will take place. So on the one hand, the Lord, day by day, is operating to build himself into us, to make his home in us. That's not a summer vacation home. That's not a motel or a hotel. It is a dwelling place. Just consider your heart being a house for the triune God in Christ as the Spirit, your heart. And now, kind of with a smile, I'd like to tell you something quite deep. This is a deep thought. Chapter 4 of Ephesians comes after chapter 3. Oh, wow. Why do I say wow? Because chapter 3 is the entrance into the building in chapter 4. We all need to be experiencing the building in chapter 3. That is, we're being empowered into our inner man. The inner man is strengthened so that Christ can make his home in our heart and replace much of what is there with himself. And if we consider the heart as a house with many rooms, mind, emotion, and will, in various ways, gradually he must enter that part of our heart and deal with what is there that he does not want in his home. Many times I've used this some imaginary illustration. It's partly imaginary, but I'll bring it forth now. Just numerous times in all the years of travel to different churches, and the dear saints received me into their home. And the first thing I do is try to bring peace to the sister and tell her, I can eat anything you make. Don't worry, don't worry. And then they always say to me, Brother Ron, make yourself at home. Well, I'm touched with that. But I know I can't really make myself home. I'm just here for a few days. But let's suppose this happened. And in one family, the brother said, our daughter, a teenage daughter, she is giving her room to you to be your room this weekend. Make yourself at home. And so this actually happened. The next part is imaginary, but it'll make a point. Okay, so I'm now in Emily's room, which is my room. And then I come out and I say to the brother, Brother, will you please take me to the hardware store? Why do you want to go to a hardware store? I said, this is my room. I don't like the color of paint on the walls in my room. I like maybe a light green or an off-white. And also look at my bed in my room. It is a zoo. It's covered with stuffed animals. Please clear them away. And look at the posters that are on the wall. Take them down. Put up a print of some classic painting. And also in my room, there is my, I don't know if they have them anymore, these iPods, whatever, however you have recordings on. And I say I turned it on. It has 741 rock music. Delete them. I want Beethoven quartets and Mozart symphonies. If I were to do that, I believe the brother would say, excuse me, Brother Ron, I need to be with my family. They would have an urgent home prayer meeting. Then the brother would come and say, Brother Ron, I think you would really like to be in this 5-star hotel. So I know that I could never actually try in any way to make myself at home. I can't roam around in their house. Now, the reason I take the time to mention this is we should not be saying to Christ in a way, make yourself at home. And he knows you're treating me like a guest. But when we say to him, make yourself at home, he is going to make our heart his home. He's going to stay here forever in every part of our being. So I think it's really helpful to us to understand what we're saying and then really mean what we say. To say, Lord, it's the desire of your heart to build me and all the saints into the triune God as our dwelling place. You open the way for us to be in the Father's house, the church. And now it's the desire of our heart that you will make your home permanently in our heart. Lord, I open my mind, emotion, and will to you, and I give you the freedom to adjust, to remove anything in my mind, emotion, and will contrary to you. I want you to be comfortable, peaceful, restful, joyful in my heart as your home. We need to experience this aspect of building before we can have the reality and the intrinsic building in chapter 4, to which we now turn with the outline. One, the intrinsic building up of the church is through all the perfected members of the body of Christ. All. A, Christ the ascended head has given gifts, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and shepherds and teachers for the perfecting of the saints in the local churches. In religious organized Christianity, the seminary trained preachers do not perfect the saints. They replace the saints. This is abhorrent in the eyes of God. In no way, outwardly, we don't have clergy laity. But in our being, there should be no clergy laity. Please don't view elders as an upper class, as those who are engaged in the apostolic ministry as a higher level. They're simply brothers prepared by the Lord to equip you and supply you and serve you. Because all the members, they do the building directly. The Lord has been waiting 2,000 years for this to happen. One, the word, okay, B, the perfecting of the saints is unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. And point one says the word unto in Ephesians 4:12 means resulting in, for the purpose of, or with a view to. This is part of the God-ordained way. It is just crystal clear. God has ordained this way. He will work thoroughly on certain brothers and present them as gifts to the body. And these gifts are not building up something for themselves. They're not establishing their own little kingdom or domain. They are ministering to the saints. They are serving the saints, supplying them, enlightening them, equipping them. Then their job is done, and they function just as a brother, as a member. Two, the many gifted persons have only one ministry. That is to minister Christ for the building up of the body of Christ, the church. This is the unique ministry in the New Testament economy. And I want to repeat some of this because this one ministry in point two, and this unique ministry also in point two, is your ministry also. This is what we need to see. It's the need is desperate for us to see. Those who have ministry are not merely a small group of brothers that have been dealt with by God for a long time so they can minister the word in conferences and trainings. We shouldn't have that narrow view. And I'm a sister. I'm not going to do that. Or I'm a brother. I love the Lord. I love the church. But I'm a mechanic. I'm a salesman. I don't have that kind of capacity. This is a natural thought. We are being perfected unto the work of the ministry, comma, that is unto the building up of the body of Christ. I say again, I will say this again and again. The church as the body of Christ is not built up by the gifts. It's by all the members who are willing to be supplied and helped and guided, maybe even trained a little. So that they, each one, will have a particular measure, a certain degree of faith and grace, and only that member can minister to the body the aspects of Christ that are in her or in him. No one else can do it. I point this out to the full-time trainees often when they're sharing after a message or before a class based upon last week's lesson. And I tell them, while you're waiting your turn to share and someone shares the same point, don't give up. Share the same point. But only you have your portion. You may only be 24. Okay, you're 24 with a measure of grace, with Christ growing in you. The only way we can partake of that is for you to share. You are irreplaceable. This needs to dawn on us. Decades ago, I received a call from a temporarily discouraged sister. I was really very much a learner in bearing any kind of responsibility. And she asked me this question, Ron, I think the church would get along better without me. It's better that I not be here. I wonder, Lord, what should I say? And anyway, this is what I said. You can evaluate it. I said, sister, the church could get by without you, but not as well as with you. If, for some reason, I lost my left thumb, my body could continue to function, but always with the awareness when I want to tie a shoe. Uh-oh. That member is gone. It's very much in the Lord's heart and mind that you realize you have been placed in the body as God wills. You are a member, irreplaceable. And all the members need to be perfected by the gifts unto the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry is building up the body of Christ directly. Three, according to the grammatical construction of Ephesians 4:12, the building up of the body is the work of the ministry. In those times, decades ago, when the usual morning meeting would be a message meeting, and one brother, often the same every week, would give a message. And then we sit there. And maybe there's some time for us to respond with a word of fellowship, but often there wasn't. That was actually a form of clergy laity. It violated a basic principle in the body of mutuality. It is when we have special meetings like conferences or trainings that the ministering brothers give a message. But those days are gone, I hope so, where the main thing on the Lord's Day morning is a message instead of a sermon. And it's 60 minutes instead of 20 in a denomination. This is why prophesying in mutuality is so crucial. We are prophesying to build up. Just clearing some phlegm. Whatever the gifted persons do as the work of the ministry must be for the building up of the body of Christ. If they do a work for something else, which some have done and are still doing, their work will be judged by fire. The Lord knows. You're building up something for yourself. You're not building up the body. This building up is not accomplished directly by the gifted ones, but by the saints who have been perfected by the gifted ones. The work of the gifts is indirect, but the work of the saints is direct. What I am endeavoring to do right now is indirect regarding building is concerned. But when you speak in fellowship after the message, you are direct. You are direct. I hope this is more than clear, that the light will be bright. It doesn't matter what kind of capacities that Watchman Nee have and Brother Lee have. I don't know if anyone can have more than 5 talents. What tremendous capacity. But they did not build up directly. They knew it. Their whole ministry was indirect to perfect us. See, the gifts are joined together in coordination to perfect the saints and the church to bring out their function, each doing the work of the ministry. This is important because there are the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds and teachers, plural. But all these gifts are joined together in coordination. And I've been learning to be very conscious of this, to build upon what others have done, to develop what they have shared. I release my portion, but it's part of a blending ministry. And they're doing this together. Any place on the earth where a brother who is truly a gift is ministering without this coordination, I know what will happen eventually, even though the brother did not intend it. He will be a king. The issue will be his own realm, his own kingdom. This is a fact. It's not only history. I wish I could say it was only history. But those that know the body and grasp this principle here realizes I'm coming here in coordination with all the ones who have been serving here. Brother Lee sent our brother Benson to bear much responsibility in the Russian-speaking world in 1991. And I was sent there in fellowship with Benson starting in 1998. And when I went there, I was clear in this fellowship what my portion was. And also I was very clear, I will blend in with all the work that has been done already. I'm part of the coordination. I didn't come here to do my own thing. We are just for the building of the body, to carry out the work of the ministry, to perfect the saints, to bring out their function, to bring it out. Once it's brought out, then you will know what it is. If you try to figure it out, alone at home with the Bible and the Lord, you won't get anywhere. But the body will recognize. And when your function is brought out, then you will just have a sense, I'm just so comfortable in serving in this way. I just realize that there is not my portion. That's my measure. But I'm just so at ease in doing this. And the body is at ease when you do it. And the body is lacking when you don't. The body needs you. Little D. In this way, through the perfecting by the gifted ones, all the saints will do the work of the ministry. And in the end, the body of Christ will be built up. Built up. Please notice all the saints. Well, let's just be very honest about this. All the saints, that will only be fulfilled by the end of the millennial kingdom. There's an important truth here. The bride who returns with Christ will be the new Jerusalem in stage one. They are those who have become the new Jerusalem during the church age. They're the overcomers. They matured in life. They fulfilled their function. For various reasons, the vast majority of saints did not do that. Many of them were under the clergy laity system. They were deprived. They were defrauded. They didn't know. And the Lord knew. Well, no, they never heard this. But they need to be perfected and matured for the ultimate building up of the New Jerusalem. So what the Lord needs is not only the recovered church life in the Lord's recovery. He needs saints that will eventually be identified by the Lord as the overcomers. That we are doing what the minority of God's people don't do, don't know about doing, and we just do our part. There's a battle for this because it's the enemy that invaded the church with the clergy laity system to nullify the function of all the members of the body. See, eventually all the members of the body of Christ will arrive at the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God at a full-grown man. We will all arrive at a full-grown man. The oneness of the Spirit in verse 3 is the oneness of the divine life in reality. And the oneness in verse 13 is the oneness of our living in practicality. So we already have oneness in reality. But we are in a process of reaching the oneness in practicality. B, the word arrive in verse 13 indicates that a process is required for us to arrive at the oneness of our living in practicality. The oneness of reality is the beginning, and the oneness in practicality is the destination. So we are arriving at the oneness of the faith, and the content of the faith is the reality of the divine revelation. So we are all on this journey. We are all in this process where the Lord is touching aspects of our being that are not amenable to true oneness. Opinions, aspects of our disposition, concepts. And he does this by saving us in life, by the discipline of the Holy Spirit, and we will all arrive. I dare not say and will not say, oh, I hope you arrive. I've arrived. I'm sitting here, arrived. Not at all. No, I'm arriving. We are advancing. We are developing. It's the ing that's encouraging. Don't be disappointed that you're not raptured ready for the time you end the day. Just be thankful it was an ing day for you. An ing day. We are the ing people. Point two, the oneness in practicality is the oneness of the faith. The faith here refers not to our act of believing, but to the things in which we believe, such as the divine person of Christ and his redemptive work accomplished for our salvation. In the church life, we have only one thing that is special, the faith. Jude mentions the common faith. We have this with all believers. That's why we receive all believers. They can come to the Lord's table meeting. They will not be interrogated by ushers. They're children of God. They have the common faith. So to insist upon anything besides the faith for receiving the believers is to be divisive. Oh, but many, oh, so many denominations, you come there, they will ask you, do you believe in the rapture? Do you believe in the rapture before the tribulation? Pre-trib rapture? Or do you feel, are you post-tribulation rapture? Someone says, oh, I believe in stages of rapture. What? You're not welcome here. We are all pre-tribulation people. We're all going up. And you say, that the first fruits, they go first, and the harvest goes later? Oh, you go somewhere else. Or so many other things. Oh, a sister comes in. Why don't you have a cloth on your head? And why do you say anything in the church meeting? Didn't Paul say, be silent in the churches? Oh, it's outrageous what some of these fellows think. Paul means don't go chit-chat with others during the meeting. How can sisters be silent if they're told they can pray and prophesy? I don't know how to pray and prophesy in a meeting silently. Do you? And so you have all of these things thrusted upon people that drive them away. If we practice pray reading and someone doesn't want to do it, you're welcome. You have the common faith. This is a very significant characteristic of our church life. Three, the oneness in practicality is also the oneness of the full knowledge of the Son of God. A, the full knowledge of the Son of God is the apprehension of the revelation concerning the Son of God as life for our experience. So we all need to advance. Repeatedly, the apostles said, full knowledge, full knowledge. And I'm still arriving. I cannot say full knowledge. I have the full knowledge of the all-inclusive Christ in every aspect. Come on, Ron. like President Biden saying, come on, man. Come on, man. What? Well, I don't need your come on, man, because I know I am progressing and learning. And so, and then this is directly related to our experience. It's not a doctrinal full knowledge. It's a subjective knowledge related to truth, light, life, experience. Little B, the oneness of the faith altogether depends on the full knowledge of the Son of God. We need to know him fully. What a great turn took place in Job's life in chapter, the last chapter, when he said, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear. Now my eye sees you, and I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He had heard about. Now for the first time, the knowing began. The direct contact, the knowing, the full knowledge is the experiential knowing of every aspect of Christ, the all-inclusive Christ. Only when we take Christ as the center and focus on him can we arrive at the oneness of the faith? For only in the Son of God can our faith be one. So it's worthwhile to consider this personally and corporately. Is Christ the center? Is Christ the focus? We shouldn't examine ourselves introspectively, but open to the Lord. Lord, you are the center of the Godhead economically. You are the center of God's economy. You're the center of the church. Be my center. If someone or something else is the center, change me and my focus. For to arrive at a full-grown man is to arrive at maturity in life. Maturity is needed for the practical oneness. And I would pray for myself, but much, much more to pray for the saints, that the saints will arrive at maturity long before the end of their course. Some arrive in a hospital bed in the last few weeks of their lives. The Lord gains them. He honored their consecration. But the body does not get much direct benefit. But if the Lord brought him to the stage of maturity and then went on to higher and higher levels of maturity 20 years before that, how much life would flow? I just treasure Sister Lee, Brother Lee's wife, and how she was with us for quite a length of time after Brother Lee went to be with the Lord. And just her presence with the radiance in her face and the life flowing when she speaks. This is a supply. We surely need, as Brother Lee's book says, all ages in the Lord's recovery. We need a host of mature, spiritually mature, elderly saints whose very being is a channel of life. D, for the building up of the body of Christ, we need to hold to the truth in love so that we may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, Christ. Okay, we hold to the truth, the divine reality, but not in debate, not in dispute, but in love. We need the love to match the truth. And whenever we present the truth, it needs to be in love. And this is for growing up into the head in all things. One, to grow up into Christ, is to have Christ increase in us in all things until we attain to a full-grown man. So just some examples of all things. Driving on the freeways in Southern California, I need to grow up into Christ in driving on the freeway when I am quite content to stay at the speed limit, maybe just an itty bit over because of the flow of traffic, 65 miles an hour, and cars behind me are impatient. For them, it's 75 to 80, and they're zooming by, and they're cutting me off, and they're tailgating me. Right then, when I'm in the car, I need to grow up into the head and driving on an Orange County freeway in heavy traffic. I need to grow up in eating. And I need a helper. She knows I like popcorn. And she likes popcorn. But she wants to make her own popcorn. And she makes just a certain amount. I'm thankful for that. Sister Lee was like that. Sometimes we need helpers. So in all kinds of things, and the way we speak, and how we handle the media online, what we text, what we write in the email. Haven't you composed a text or an email? And before you were ready to click send, you were troubled, and you just, I better erase this. Yeah, keep going, Ron, keep going. Okay. Now you have the peace. Because I've been learning the hard way, you send it out to somewhere. You're sending it out to the whole universe. There's no way you can control it. And so, instead of focusing on the things, we need to focus on Christ, hold to the truth in love, and grow up little by little into the head. Then we have something that is out from the head for the building up of the body. That's verse 16. We grow up into the head. Then something flows out from the head through us into the body. This is how we all build. 2, head in Ephesians 4:15 indicates our growth in life by the increase of Christ should be the growth of the members in the body under the head. E, to grow in life is to grow into the head, Christ, but to operate in the body is to operate out from him. So he must be the source of all that is operating among us. First, we grow up into the head. Then we have something that is out from the head for the building up of the body. Through the growth in life and the development of the gifts, each member of the body has its own measure, which operates for the growth of the body. Each member, every brother, every sister, no matter where they live, what their age is, what kind of formal education they've had, they are members of the body. They have received something directly from the head. And only they can impart this to the body for the building up. And there's such a longing. The more we come to know the body, the more there's just a longing for the function of every member. And I believe many of you have experienced this. When someone who has been kind of withdrawn or just quiet, maybe by disposition, and then something has happened, and they stand up and they pray, or they stand up and minister to prophesy, you're not only receiving life, you're just relieved. The body is rejoicing. This member is now functioning. How would you feel day by day if some of the major members of your body stopped functioning? Your heart is still beating, your brain is working, your lungs are breathing. It's just that your feet won't hold you up. No, we want just a normal body. The Lord is still praying for this, where every member is operating. Three, the growth of the body of Christ is the increase of Christ in the church, which results in the building up of the body of Christ by the body itself. So message two, growing in life by Christ increasing in the church. Then this Christ in the church, that results in the building up of the body by the body itself. Please reread, even pray over or muse on it. Ephesians 4:16. The body builds itself up in love, the nature of God's essence. Now, point two, the organic function of the church is the organic body of Christ, and in the local expressions of the organic body of Christ. So in all the local churches, the local expressions of the organic body of Christ, there should be organic functioning. No matter what we're doing outwardly and practically, intrinsically, there's an organic function. You may be mopping the floor. You may be with the preschoolers. You might be with the young people. You might be taking care of the property. Any number of things. That's our practical service. But organically, there is a flowing. A, because we are this organic body, we should be organic and function organically in the church life. This is something we need to learn. And let's bring this to the Lord. To function organically. When the grace of God in Christ as the divine element comes into our being to be our life for our enjoyment, it brings with it the element of certain spiritual skills and abilities. The grace of God entering into you as life for enjoyment will bring forth spiritual skills and abilities. Yes, sisters, in you. You will have spiritual skills that none of the co-workers over the whole earth have. You will have spiritual abilities that other saints do not have. And those are accompanying our growth in life. Develop into the gifts in life that we may be able to function in the body of Christ. I'm using the word gifts in a different way. Every member of our body is a gift. Even my little finger, it's a gift. My feet are flat as can be, but they're still a gift. Two, when the entire body is operating, the body causes the growth of itself, resulting in the body being built up in love. B, the organic function of the organic body of Christ is in the local expressions of the body. And by the move of the triune God in the operations of God, through the ministries of the Lord, and through the gifts of the Spirit in his manifestations, to the members of the organic body of Christ. We read 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 6. I think you noticed. Spirit gives. Christ gives. God the Father gives. This is the triune God operating in the body for your function. So the organic function of the organic body of Christ. Okay, and through the gifts, okay, I read that. Sorry. One, in 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 6, there are God the Father's operations, God the Son's ministries, and God the Spirit's gifts. May the Lord save us from measuring ourselves with others. That is a big mistake, or comparing ourselves with others. And if we sense that we're envious or jealous of others, then we need to recognize, Lord, this is my flesh. This is myself. I won't deny that it's here, but I ask you to apply the cross to it. Kill it, Lord. And eventually, we will have our portion, and we will just rejoice at all the various functions of the others. We will consider them, oh, in this matter, you're better than I. I'm so glad. I need your portion. But there's no religious humility we can say, you need what I got too. I got a portion. I got some grace. I'm getting some skills, some abilities out from the head, just like you. Then we would just be beyond jubilance, joy in this. Through the gifts of the Spirit are to carry out the ministries of the Lord, and the ministries of the Lord are to accomplish the operations of God the Father. While we are functioning organically, the triune God who is within us moves together with us. Now, wait, listen to this point now. Four, the triune God does not move apart from us. When we move, he moves. That is why we need to exercise the Spirit. Turn our heart to the Lord and exercise the Spirit. Not be passive in a meeting, waiting for a mighty tide to come to us and carry us away and lift us up from the seat and enable us to speak. We need to exercise, to move like the wheels in the wheel. Eventually, it's hard to tell. God moves, we move. We move, God moves. But in principle, every day, every new day, I move first. I have to turn to the Lord, exercise my spirit, and then exercise. Now I'm moving. Then the Lord moves. Then the more he moves, the more I move. Then the cycle is developing. Last point. The organic function of the church is for the building up of the church as the organic body of Christ, the fullness of the all-inclusive one who fills all in all. We've covered many things. There's much in this outline, I'm not exaggerating, that over time we may visit again and again. It will take years for this to be fully wrought into us. But I believe, I just believe this, you all receive something from the Lord's Spirit. And I'm just going to now stop my portion is over. And I want to enjoy your portion.